Well, hello everybody, welcome to the Heed Army podcast and another fine result at the weekend, and results going our way below us as well. It couldn't be going any better, but we've got to keep positive and keep believing in these lads, and they're doing absolutely fantastic. And before we go further, I just got to the way, hit that subscribe button. We've had lots of new subscribers, so thank you very much. And also as well, to our sponsors, Northern Print Solutions and Patrick. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing here, so we thank them very, very much. But let's get away from that and get right into the action and bring in everybody here. Of course, we've got Mark Carruthers with us tonight, Steely, and obviously everyone will be looking at Steely thinking, what is going on there? We'll put you on full screen. You can tell us your current situation.
Well, I haven't got the internet inside the buildings on the Isle of May, so I'm now standing outside on a Scottish island, cold, doing the podcast. So here we are. So I went from the extremes. I went from Mexico, the sunny of Mexico, to this.
Can you give us a flash of the lighthouse?
Oh, I don't think I can. It's behind us here. It's flashing away. Yeah, hang on. It might just arc round.
One little white dot.
Yeah.
We had a little pulse there. So obviously we're all here, lads. You know, it sounds like a broken record, but it's very positive, isn't it, at the moment? It's nice the way things are going, and things possibly, if they keep going the way they are, set up very nicely for the end of the run into the season. And obviously we'll get straight into the highlights very, very shortly, but lots of people sending messages. We've got good evening, gents, from Sean Parry. Hello, boys, from Sandra and Steve Farnfield. Gated Stats, evening. Darcy has put evening all as well. So thank you very much to you all sending your messages.
Evening.
If you're watching on Twitter, come across to YouTube, subscribe, and you can send us messages as all these beautiful people have done, just like Liv Walden has done there. And right. And just one little thing that will go forward. Of course, Marcus Dinanga scored a hat trick this weekend. And, you know, he's been getting in the right positions for quite a while, scored a few goals of late, but also, you know, he's had one-on-ones, but he's getting into them positions where a good striker is. And he got a hat-trick at the weekend. And I've just got a little stat here from Stephanie Gated Stats. If he averages a goal a game from the momentum, he will smash the 35-goal record of a season. So could you imagine that if he got to 35 goals? But let's not put too much pressure on him. Let's just have him enjoying his football and scoring the way he is. And we'll look at the end of the year what's achieved. But yeah, it's going to be, I'll put this in because it was another fine performance, another, I'm going to say, a professional, solid performance, lads, much like the Kidderminster game that we watched last week.
Oh, without a shadow. I think They weren't as bad a side as Dorking were, to be fair.
I agree with that. And
yeah, we won 1-0 up, but then they got the man sent off, and it killed the game. But were ruthless, and the hat trick Dinanga scored what I would call a typical tapping merchant's goal. I mean, Gary Lineker made a living of scoring goals like that.
But you've got to be in the right place at the right time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
Bikers do.
And I had said that last week, didn't I? I said he's still getting in the right positions, even though, you know, the one-on-ones weren't, you know, happening for him in that game. He is getting in the right positions, but kind of special for this man, Kane Adam. The way he is skinning defenders at the moment is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. But,
I think from our position on that there for the, and I don't know what the referee, obviously he's got a different angle here. In commentary, it looked like that was a much firmer push on Dinanga when it happened, but obviously it looked a little bit soft in the but regardless, hands were on the back. But
good, by the way, Hanno's good penalty taker. That's a good penalty, that.
Yeah, as I said in commentary, I don't know how he got the power on it from such a gentle run up, but look at that.
It was the guy who shouted yes before it actually went in.
That's right on the highlights.
I didn't hear that.
I heard it at the game as well. I'm thinking, wow, you're a bit premature here.
maybe just had a premonition that it was going in. Obviously, with Marcus is going to take the plaudits for scoring the hat-trick. But, I mean, I struggled for man of the match. I was talking to Regan Booty in commentary, and it was before he even scored the hat-trick. we said, you know, obviously the striker always gets the headlines off the goals, but yeah, what a team performance it was. And I thought there was about six or seven that would have been up for man of the match.
Well, me and Steely were talking, and I thought Job was exceptional.
Yeah. Superb, yeah.
Louis Story had another great game.
Did I?
Hamp played well. Like you say, it was a good team performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The two fielders, they played well, you know.
There's something I wanted to get onto, and I mentioned it to Mark before we come on, that when he said he was going to come on. I want to talk about the back three. In Story, Job, and Grayson. And I'll make no secret of it. I mean, obviously, a big Story fan, but Grayson, to me, is just...
Oh, yeah.
Look at the passes, man. The simplicity in what he does is beautiful. And it just, you know, doing the simple things right looks fantastic. And he's grown into the season, as is Hannant has, a number of other players. But where do you put players that are coming back in defensive positions? Because I think... I haven't seen the post-match interview with Magny, but he said that, you know, players aren't just going to walk in. They've got to earn the right for them shirts because players are playing fantastic.
It's all a question of motivation, isn't it? You know, you look at, particularly when you go into such a busy end of the season with so much to play for, you want each and every player in that squad fully motivated and really battling for a place, because at the end of the day, that competition drives excellence out of players. So, it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, these aren't just any players coming back. These are players that you would arguably say, going back to the start of the season, are key players. You know, you're Greg Ollies, Richardson's, you're Robbie Tinkler's, Regan Booty obviously coming back as well. So these are big players that would probably go down as, if you're going to list a, you know, five of Gateshead's most important players, I dare say they would be in there. So there's some really difficult decisions coming up, but also decisions, and it's a total cliche that every manager loves to have. So all of a sudden the squad's going to go from thinking, wow, we can barely get an 11 out here, to there's some big players going to be left on the bench.
And well, that's another thing in itself. It's a lovely finish that I think it looked simpler than what it was in real time. But like, you got in there over the keeper. No, to have the, it's going to be, dare I say, an embarrassment of riches on the bench when you have a full quarter back, if we can keep them all fit, and suspensions, of course, nothing's a given. But yeah, to see, you know, the likes of Ollie, Tinkler, Richardson, McBride, and Tom Allen as well, who kind of get to, you know, forgotten about a little bit. These are all players that can change a game, regardless of the position. And dare I say, three captains to come back on the pitch.
Oh. Well, I mean, Tinks, before he got injured, he's the usual, he's missed a consistency, isn't he? I mean,
yeah,
no one's going to walk in. I think it would be unfair on the players who've been in them positions for them just to walk back in.
And that's a great ball, by the way.
I'll just rewind that back a little bit. Look at Kane Adam, he's celebrating now. But watch this. Watch.
I know, where he holds his head.
He holds his head and turns to say, "Oh, you idiot! Look."
Hey, I'll tell you what. If Kevin De Bruyne makes that pass, people are talking about it for years.
I know. Yeah,
Kevin De Bruyne probably meant it. Kane didn't.
Yeah. The celebration was as if to say, "Thank God that come to something." And bend over. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
but I mean, as you say though, yeah, we've if you think, you know, just go back 6-7 weeks ago, sort of into mid-January, where, you know, we're talking about players leaving, we're talking about not having a team, we didn't have a starting 11, we're really worried, having some youngsters that are coming back from on loan, from Asherton and elsewhere, and now suddenly we've got this squad which, you know, we can compete in two different competitions, and I mean compete as well. So yeah, it's a real positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're coming up near the end of the month. Picking the player of the month is going to be a hard decision, because there's a fair few in there played really well. Job, Whelan, Hano. Oof.
Job's destined for higher things, by the way. Watch his career go. He is an absolutely superb player.
It's a shame this didn't end in a goal here, because that pass through from Grayson was absolutely weighted beautifully. It just split the defence. Obviously,
I've never seen the highlights.
Yeah, let's be honest, you should have scored.
Bring it back for the pass through from here we are. Well done from Dinanga, holding it up, bringing him in.
Yeah, it's a great run. Dinanga's got on his bike, which he needs to do a bit more.
Yeah, but mentioned Kane Adam there. Obviously, he got off with that one for the bad cross, good cross that led to the goal, should I say?
You know, I think he'll prove to be a very good signing. I think he just needs just a bit of bulking up, doesn't he? Just for full time football.
You can see he's grown into it, but I mean, how many times did he skin those defenders on the far side and just one touch and took them away and pulled it round? You know, that in itself is worth a fortune just to be able to do that, but do it consistently is even better. So really excited to see what that young lad can carry on doing.
There is a lot of excitement at the club about him, and a lot of optimism that he can go on and be a very big player over the next however long he's at the club. I think you look at the moment, there just needs to be a little bit of patience shown with him. He's still, as I think Steely said there, he's still sort of adjusting football, so he will pick up little knocks, he will pick up little strains. But once he gets up to speed, and I mean fully up to speed, he's going to be some player, I think.
Can I just point out a special mention to Louis Story there? Look, he's a central defender. He's pulling it back like Lampard there, running into the box and setting up Dinanga there for his hat-trick. Confidence is a massive thing, and we've obviously seen earlier in the season that Louis maybe didn't have the most of it, and obviously he's got a new lease of life now, but wow, we're seeing someone else thrive, and of course he's part of the coaching staff, and I think sometimes because of that we kind of maybe look past it a little bit, but he's been pivotal at the moment.
For me, he's been outstanding since Mike left, and actually since he got dropped, when they dropped him out of the team and he come back into the team, he's been outstanding ever since.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. He's been, for me, he could have won Player of the Month last year. And last month, I mean, when they give it to Hanover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's played that well. I honestly believe he's... Well, you could have put him in the top three for the votes for the Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
He's come on leaps and bounds, hasn't he? Where you think where he's come from, the last three or four seasons, to the level he's stepped up at.
Oh yeah, I mean the actual, the levels he's stepped up about. We heard about Macaulay Langstaff being talked about, but Louis done just the same, it's just absolutely fantastic. But what I will say is, I mean, if anyone spoke to Louis one on one or seen him talk at a talking. Louis is what you get when you see him on the pitch, and what you see is what you get when you talk to him in person. Yeah. He's polite. He listens. And I think we've known that from Mike and Buster's era when Louis was involved with the coaching there as well, that's the club and culture they want to cultivate. And I had the pleasure of having Regan Booty with us. He was no mocker of us. Let's put it straight. But I had Regan Booty next to us. And you know where it is? The first thing he said, we all buy into what it is. We're all, and he talked about it a couple of times in commentary, just fleeting mentions that this is what we do. It's not about that. Because I think Mickey, you had said something at halftime. He said, you're going to come back and pull the trigger from 40 yards, joking on or something like that. And he goes, no, that's not me. He goes, I'm working for the team. He goes, it wouldn't benefit anybody. And I know Mickey was just joking, but he was like, that was to the point, and it was like, that's the ethos of this team. We work together, and it's magical at the minute. And I want, and as I said in commentary at the end, obviously we'll be back for the next game and putting the game on, but get to the game, see what's happening here, because it's quite special. And if you're, I'm gonna clip this and put it up, but if you're a Newcastle or Sunderland fan or just a floating Northeast fan, come along and see what's happening. It's not non-league football. It's not National League football. It looks a lot higher up. And what's been done with the with what's at hand is absolutely fantastic, because Gated aren't the richest club in the world. That's across the river, where the other spectrum in the grand scheme of things. for what is being achieved is fantastic, and it should be witnessed and in the flesh. So
with our budget,
yeah, it's
anyone could argue it, to be honest.
No, It's but someone, I did see a message here early on. I know people are having a conversation in the chat, which is absolutely fantastic. But someone put where is it? I think it was Mick Scully might have put it about Rob Elliott probably being a shoo-in for manager of the. Oh no, it wasn't a Swiss story. Has to be manager of the month, if I'm honest. Definitely got to be up there with a form team, aren't we, in the whole league? Hartlepool were joined with us, but they slipped up at the weekend. And you know, it's just a magical time to be a Gated fan.
At 5 wins, draw in 6 games is championship form.
It certainly is. Well, I was to say it's better than the actual people that are 20 points clear at the top of the league.
I've got a question that I'll ask the three of you now. And people who are watching and joining as well, and ask the same thing. So
I think I know what's coming.
Me and Dicko were talking about, we were both at Spartans on Saturday. When we were travelling back, we were talking about the Gateshead result and the form and such like. And we spoke about, so the high point of the season, arguably so far, would probably be Eastleigh away, I would say, the 6-0 away, beating a team so convincingly, 90-minute performance, absolutely flying. Now, that weekend, if I'd said to you, right, I've been in the future and I've seen what's going to happen, so Mike Busted and Belly are going to go. Greg Ollie's going to be out long-term. Kenton Richardson's going to be out long-term. Going to lose Robbie Tinkler long-term. Stephen Wern's going to be sold. Who was a keeper? Archie Mayer. He's going to be recalled. Karen Lofthouse is going to be recalled. Basically, Billy Chadwick's going as well. He's going to be sold by his parent club. There's going to be players brought back from loan. There's going to be, it's basically like, sounds like a doomsday scenario, doesn't it?
You're going to sign a great player from the division, the National League South, yeah.
So there's going to be 4 or 5 players coming in pretty quickly.
Sounds like a season.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing, right? So if I said that to you and then said, right, we'll say at the end of February, where do you think Gateshead will be in the league?
I'll tell you straight away. I would have thought we would drop down and would be flirting with the relegation places. I won't lie.
I would have put 16th, yeah. That would you put all that doomsday scenario together, you think, there's still talent in that squad. You think they'll be able to hold their own in some.
Thank you for selling Chadwick.
And I think with the I think we'll rise above that. I think with the points we had as well, I would about 15th, 16th. Yeah.
If other people want to, you know, say what they would have said, but
yeah,
my point now is, so for me, and I'm trying to take a step back here, no matter what happens between now and the end of the season, you're probably looking at a top half finish. You would imagine it would take some stretch not to be, as a minimum. I mean,
yeah.
So that is progress from last season, which is a success, you know, given the budget, given the changes, all that sort of stuff. Now, if the best was to happen and they weren't to get in the playoffs and they weren't to get to Wembley again, surely it would go down as the best season in the club's history. This is a conversation me and Dicker had. Like, with the budget, with the changes, with the managerial loss and Rob coming in and doing so well, with Mags and Louis, with all these lads coming in that, you know, have taken time to settle, to be on the sort of run they're on, it's been a remarkable season. It can't be underplayed. Just how remarkable that achievement is.
It's Royal Rovers stuff, isn't it? As I say, when you put it in brass tacks of saying, if you had said this was going to happen, you know, and knocked out the first round of the FA Cup, wasn't it? And you think, there's not much to look forward to, is there, when you put it like that? But
maybe that's been the blessing in disguise.
What?
Sometimes you need a reset.
FA Cup. I know that would generate a lot of money for the club if they had a good run. But sometimes the FA Cup run can divert your attentions away from the big picture.
Yeah.
And being knocked out the FA Cup means they've probably got to take the FA Trophy a bit more serious as well.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously we'll get into that in the coming weeks, the FA Trophy. But, I mean, if you had it turned around and after Mark give you that doomsday scenario and said, but you'd be sitting fifth in the league, games in hand on everyone behind you and in front of you, and you're in the quarterfinals at home against the lower-ranked side of the FA Trophy, you'd go, no. Surely.
I would have thought we'll be flirt with relegation. The season will basically be the opposite of what happened last season, where we started slow and got flying up there and into the top half of the table.
I mean, dare I say it, the last 12 months of... If you take out the Ryan Reynolds effect and Macaulay Langstaff at Notts County, you've got to say that the team on everyone's lips was Gateshead for the last 12 months, maybe 18 months, for what we've done like throughout the beginning of this season and last season. It's been quite phenomenal, hasn't it? And, you know, the players that have come through the ranks and where they've went on to as well.
Gateshead stats is listening. Take from January 1st, the points total from January the 1st last year to now.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically just over a calendar year.
Yeah.
Be interested to see how many points they've actually got.
Oh, she'll be straight on that. Don't you worry. I feared mid-table and fade out. The season would fade out mid-table. Steen Farnfield has actually been quite positive here. I never expected us to be relegated after Mike and Co left. I think he's put too much sugar in his tea. It's not the answer I was expecting. Johnny Bray has put optimistic mid-table. Mid-table at best. And obviously, we've got here as well, what Rob has done considering his first managerial role is simply astonishing. It is. And, adding to the fact
that Louis have been outstanding. You've got to see that. I didn't see it. It's only Kevin Mayer who's probably done a better job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He took the words out of my mouth because I think it is very similar to the Mike and Busted and Belly. It's a team effort. They all work into it and put into it, and they've obviously got the same ethos right between them all. And I think you see that with the interviews as well. They're all, as I mentioned before, they've all got the same mindset, as have the team, which is lovely to see. If I haven't read any messages here, I've missed them. I'm just going through. But remember, sending your messages. Got one here from Paul Hodgson. He's put, the football is fantastic at the minute and has been for a while now. The lads are a credit to themselves and the coaching staff, and an effort all round deserves a lot of praise. It really does. Over the years, I've had players on commentary and stuff. I'll not name any, but some you can tell aren't as invested in what's going on.
Name them.
No, I'm not naming them. I need to say that them players aren't at the club anymore, and it's just one of them things. But it's what you put in is what you'll get out of it, and I think that's what's shown by the coaching staff, and it's shown to the players to say, well, look what XYZ's done while here. Look where they are now, and you've got to do the same. And it just seems to be everyone is buying into that, and the fans, I think, have bought into it now, because there was some teething trouble. There was the odd groan in the stand sometimes when we'd build up from the back, and now it's become the Gateshead way, and everyone's kind of on board of it. I know you still hear someone shout, "Kick it long," and from the back of the stand. But it's paying dividends, isn't it? What's been put in place, and if it can stay there for another couple of seasons, it can only strengthen the club's future.
I think since Rob's come in, he doesn't mind it. If we're in trouble, get it away.
Yeah.
Whereas Mike and Busted were pass.
Yeah.
And I think the defence has flourished because of it. I'm not saying it doesn't work, because it clearly did.
Of course,
yeah,
but it's, I think, there's less risk in what Rob, Mags, and Louis are doing.
So to just answer Mark's question, is it our greatest ever season?
Or would it be?
Sam got Wembley, without a shadow of a doubt.
Because when we finished third, we had a big budget. When we finished just behind Cambridge, in fact, lost to them in the final. We had a big budget, and it was all settled for that season, but. But it wasn't like this. It was almost like, I said to you, Mickey, on Saturday, I said, the team now, if you look at the team we played on our starting 11 on the first day of the season compared to now, it's completely different. As obviously, Mark, you alluded to, it's remarkable, really. When we lost at York, I just felt like the end of the season. Just felt, this is awful. We're just going to just pit her out. But, yeah, positives.
There certainly is. There's lots of positives. Also, as well, we're going to be talking about, as I say, going forward, we've got Woking game away tomorrow, another big game, two big away games this week, away to Boreham Wood as well, who are starting to pick up a few points now. Some people tipping on social media for dark horses to getting towards the playoffs. I think that may be a little bit of a step too far for them. But
well, you've got that Chibanga, you've got every chance.
Yeah, he's a good goal scorer. I'll give you a little flash of this, though.
Nothing bad.
It's the Prediction League that Johnny Gray has been putting together. And look at that, he's top of it and all. But there's quite a few people got the 4-0 on Saturday. So well done, all of you. And if you want to take part...
Read again.
Yeah. If you haven't got your predictions in for tomorrow, send them in and Johnny will get them as well and add them to the graph if you're not already in. And I think Mark might... Are you gonna put your penneth in there, Mark, and see if you can climb up the table?
I'm not even on the table.
I know. You have to.
I think 2-1 Gated.
2-1 Gated. Well, we'll get into a little bit of that later on. Still going through messages. We've got... Rob Elliott has been a breath of fresh air, newer ideas to take the team forward. Yeah, it's kept it very much the same, but there's definitely differences there. The same ethos is there, but it's just in a different way. And every manager wants to imprint their own style on it, don't they? So it's good. Good to see attendance is improving too. The lads deserve a bit of support. Fantastic. Good atmosphere on Saturday as well. The clothesline did us proud at the back of the stand. There was lots of noise. And that Tyneham Weir stand was rammed, wasn't it? It felt like there was more there. Got more things here. Well, we were an advocate of this the other week. We were in the playoffs with an interim manager and co. It's incredible. It's time to get rid of that interim stamp now and get it as permanent. Keep the feel-good factor going, everybody. So if you're listening...
Well, I don't even think Carl Maggs and Rob look at interim. I just think the managers. It's me... Yeah. So interim is just a little word, and I think we're all fully aware that they've done more than enough to get the job anyway. So,
without a doubt. And
the thing is, though, while it is there, it's just that little lack of clarity, I would say. And you know, I mean, obviously, we don't know what discussions are going on at the club, but I agree. I think the three guys have done an unbelievable job, and fully deserve to have it on a permanent basis. More so just to start planning for next season. And you know, it's not going to be a deal until the end of the season if it does become a permanent thing, to be honest. So they're going to need to start planning for next season. The difficulty then is, what are they planning for? Because, you know, if it is a playoff push, then they have to make two sort of sets of plans. You plan for staying down in the National League, or you plan for, you know, the dream scenario of being in the Football League.
Yeah, we've got interim manager status, re-interim manager status. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, I agree with that. I suppose, you know, once we've got the two Wembley trips out the way with two wins, we'll announce it then as background noise.
I tell you what, if he gets promoted to the playoffs and wins the trophy, I think there'd be a statue of them, three of them in the middle of Gated High Street.
But it's a long way to go. But it's a nice way to be thinking about things, isn't it? Hello, all, says Boiler Sports. Thank you very much. But we can't afford to go up. Well, you get more money off the TV and off the Football League, don't you, when promoted? So there is a caveat that comes with it. So
there is also, and I realise we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but there is a scenario of going up and your Newcastles and Sunderlands and Middlesbroughs, all of a sudden, you would be, I think they would be more open to loaning the better youngsters, which is kind of what Gateshead's progress has been built on, isn't it? Let's be honest, you know, loan signings of younger players and giving them a chance, your Jobs and people like that. So I think I should, not just Newcastle, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, but, you know, all clubs that Gateshead have done business with, your Villas and Chelsea's, you may well get that next caliber up of young talent coming through as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I've not seen many Gateshead players in this squad this season that I don't think could go up to League Two and cope. I would say that as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's
I was talking to Sean about it the other day at the match.
Yeah, well, Boiler Sports getting big. If we go up, we've got the Caribou Cup and Johnson's Paint Trophy as well. I mean, we can add them to the silverware if we want, but you know, let's not. Just say we've got lots of people joining us here. We'd like you to get involved as well. Send in your messages, anything you want to talk about as well, or ask Mark. It's a lovely season at the moment, and long may that continue. But of course, we've lost Mickey. We'll be back shortly. We are away to Woking tomorrow. That is going to be a tough test. Yes, they're down the bottom of the table, but they're fighting for their lives, and that adds another dynamic on its own, doesn't it? So I'm just going to quickly play, follow us on our social medias, and we'll come back. We'll get right into that and predictions as well. And before we go any further, can we give Steely some love in the chat? He's out sitting outside, everybody, to be on the podcast tonight in the middle of the North Sea. He's sitting there. It's that's some effort.
Dog, my lovely house is just here, but I can't go inside. Look, there it is. There. Oh.
Yeah. There's no Wi-Fi inside.
I've got no problem saying what I said off air here. I've got no sympathy because I'm at concert tomorrow night for work. So. I'm not on that.
From puffins, penguins, pelicans to pneumonia. Let's go.
There you go. Anyway, I'm the one who's got the dodgy internet. Where's Mickey?
I don't know. But he hasn't charged his phone.
Is it the Antarctic?
Yeah, that's where he is. He's wrapped up like a polar bear. Look there. Look at that. You're a legend, Steely. And what a hero, Steely. Look at that. Divan Ganovaport. He's just sitting in the cold.
That's why you cough up there.
cough on my own joke.
Anyway, Mark can give us updates because I've got no internet. So what's any football updates tonight? Is any National League games or anything tonight?
No, but Maidstone are currently 3-0 down at Coventry in the FA Cup. Ellis Sims, former Sunderland loan player, has got a 35-minute hat-trick, I think it was.
Well, looking forward to tomorrow. It isn't a full quarter of fixtures in the National League. It's all the games that people have got to catch up on, the games in hand of you with waterlogged pitches and the likes. Barnet Chesterfield is a big one. For us, you want Chesterfield to win that one, of course. Try and keep us in the hunt for the top three. Eastleigh Oldham. Eastleigh are hitting a rain of form at the moment. And Oldham, they're very in and out, but that's another one that concerns Gateshead. So there is
new manager at Eastleigh as well.
There is, yes. Kelvin Davis is in there, obviously former Sunderland goalkeeper and Southampton.
Kidderminster had a good win on Saturday at Oldham, didn't they? Yeah, it was a good win for us, actually, and for them.
They really did. Mickey's back. I was waiting for his camera to come on. There he is. He's back. Rochdale, Wealdstone, but then Solihull Moors and Kidderminster. So Kidderminster's in form. There's some fixtures out there that are they're not clear-cut, are they? Southend Altrincham, again, another game that is very a tough one to call. Because Southend, they turn up on their day. And, of course, our tough game away to Woking on Tuesday night as well. And I'll just share the league table.
It's tough because it's Woking. You know, we've especially the home. The last two home games against Woking this season and last season, desperately poor. Probably the poor.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put us a bit smaller, bigger. Yeah. But at the moment, Gated sitting in fifth place on 56 points. We've got a game and two games in hand on the teams in second and third. And we are in a very rich run of form. We've got the best form in the league, as you can see in the right-hand column there. Chesterfield, of course, champions elect, we see at this period, aren't we? It would have to be something drastic for them not to win the league. After that, it's very open to, you would say, down to Aldershot and Oldham, maybe not, I don't know, unless they go on a massive run. But the teams down to six, it's anyone that can finish from up to second in that group of teams, which is quite outstanding, really, for Gator to be in there, considering what Mark mentioned before about the players loss, management loss, and you know the regrouping and rebuilding that's happened at the club has been absolutely outstanding. But as I mentioned before, in those fixtures that are happening tomorrow, there's teams like Eastleigh, there's teams like Southend, that will have a say on the playoffs, even though they're nowhere near them. And, you know, it's very tight down the bottom. So the likes of Southend, you know, and even Fylde, they'll be playing a couple of the teams in the top still. They're picking up points. Kidderminster, we know, are picking up points. It's as exciting at the bottom as it is at the top.
Well, if coulds and maybes, isn't it?
Yep.
To be fair.
Got to say, what a job Tommy Widdrington's done at Aldershot as well, to be where.
Yeah.
Oh, considering the FA Cup run as well, that distracted for a while. And, they've been kind of dark horses in the league. They've just quietly went about the business, nothing too outstanding, and then just all of a sudden they're in there.
There was a managerial change today as well, wasn't it? York City sacked their manager today.
I certainly was, yeah.
A little bit with York. It's for not a happy bunch down at the moment. They've been slipping down just above
the net at all. If I was a bunch of bastards anyway.
If you look at the bottom,
be diplomatic, Mickey.
I know. If you look, obviously we had the league table up there. York are sitting in 20th place, one place outside of the relegation zone with 1 point. They've played there's only Dorking that have played more games than them. Oxford, of course, you'd see are out of it. You could see even Fylde being sucked back in. Wealdstone are still in danger. Southend, for a moment, the weekend or last Tuesday, they were relegated table at one point. So anything can happen at the bottom as it can at the top. And I think there's only Maidstone and Dagenham and Redbridge that kind of, you would say, are safe. Although I haven't said that, you know, they're not. They're only 4 points clear. Wow. That's up to 40.
Well, Maidstone, considering in the league below, I'm surprised they're as high up.
Maidenhead, sorry. Maidenhead. You know what it is? I mean, having a proper study of the table there, even Eastleigh in 11th are only 5 points clear of, is it five or seven? 7 points clear of the relegation zone. So anyone goes on a bad run for three games, they could find themselves sucked right into it, couldn't they?
Which again is why Gator had such a good season, because the league is so unpredictable and such a challenge. I mean, we've seen results throughout the season where teams that you would expect, or teams that are struggling, have gone to teams in the top six or seven and got wins. Wogan being the example that was mentioned before by Steely.
Yeah, it's so got a message there. let's have a little look about. Got messages coming in thick and fast. I can't. Oh, 1 second. I clicked on that one. Credit already. There was another one coming as I clicked on it. Can't remember the last time we beat Woking. I know we beat them 2-0 at the Gator International Stadium on the 13th of April 1996. I went straight from the wedding. it's going to be a tough one. It is going to be a tough game. I mean, they're fighting for their lives. Their form is one win in the last five, two draws and two losses. So it's not great. Their goal difference is minus 10. And
it's busting a little bit for them, isn't it?
It is. On paper, you look at it and go, yeah, Gator should go there and win, but games aren't won on paper. And,
expect Wokham to be where they're in that position. I mean, was it last three seasons to be in the playoffs?
Yeah, I know that they're probably the shock team of the year. I did not expect them to be where they are.
No, I agree with that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Wokham would have been up there as well. And it's such a strange, it just shows you, doesn't it, how quick things can change in football. And we have a team just drop out of it like that. It's a magnificent league this year, and it's certainly more interesting than what it was last year. I know there was a lot of media attention last year because of obviously the Hollywood aspect, but I think it's a more entertaining this league this year.
I tell you, if it wasn't for Chesterfield, it's a shame they were kicking around as strong, because if it wasn't for them, wow, what a division it would be.
Oh, yeah, I think everyone fancied them, though, didn't they, beforehand?
Yeah, definitely
got to say that. But if you want to get your predictions in for the weekend, for tomorrow and the weekend,
We done last week, didn't we?
Sorry?
Didn't we do the ones for Woken last week?
We did, but some people haven't got them in. Not everyone was on the show then. And also for the game away to Boreham Wood on Saturday. So if you want to get them in, please do, so Johnny Gray can put his league table together. But this, before we get Ross Black coming to join us shortly, I'll get up the league table as it is. Of course, he's only just started it, and we're thanking him very much because he's doing a lot of work to put this all together. I've got 2 points. I've predicted 2 wins, but I haven't got the scoreline right. I've been very close. But yeah, no, it's going to take shape very soon. And if you want to get involved, please do send them in. So, Mark, did you put yours in for the next 2 games?
Just one of them. I said 2-1 for tomorrow night to Gateshead. And I'll go 1-1 at Boreham Wood.
1-1 at Boreham Wood. Mickey, what's yours for Boreham Wood?
Boreham Wood, I'm going to go for the same scoreline as last season, 2-0. Gateshead.
2-0. Steely?
Yeah, I was going for 1-1. Yeah, I was going for a draw.
Going for a draw. I'm going to go for a 1-0 to Gateshead at Boreham Wood. So we'll see what
comes.
Does everyone else get yours in now? That's what we want. Mr. Luke has went 2-2 for Boreham Wood on Saturday. Oh, they're flying in here. We got 2-1 Woking, 2-2 against Boreham Wood, 5-0 to Gateshead. Sean Wright, I don't know if that's for Saturday. Yep. I presume it is. He's getting excited, isn't he? We've got that one. I think I may have already put that one there. 2-1 Woking, 2-1 Boreham Wood game. 1-1 Saturday, 2-1, says Jack Johnson. We've got Sean Parry 3-1 and 2-2 for the next 2 games. 2-1 at Boreham Wood, says Johnny Gray. And we've got predictions here. We've got all of the Liv Walden family one in there, which is fantastic. 3-1, 2-2, 5-1, 3-0. Someone's going to be happy. They must get it right between them on that one. 2-1 there. And we've got Steve Farnfield has put the same result for Saturday, 2-0. Against Boreham Wood, and they're still flying in. Barry Lee 2-0 and 1-0 over Boreham Wood, and Trina has went 3-2 Gateshead against Boreham Wood. And the reason I'm saying them all out is because Johnny watches this back and rates them down, or he might be doing it when it's live. So there we go. It's all a little bit of fun to add into that. And Louise Dick has jumped in as well. 2-0 win against Boreham Wood, and Taylor Howie as well has joined in with 3-2 as well. Get a win, Boreham Wood. They should be pretty good. We've got, is there a prize for the winner come the end of the season? We'll ask our friends at Patrick. I'm sure they'll help us out. And
a night in a London hotel with Dave.
Yeah. after a diet of onions and mushy peas for a week.
And the same and the CPAP machine.
He's speechless. He doesn't know what to say, does he? He doesn't know what to say.
Cut your way into the room.
a live feed from the room. how many farts there is.
Can I just change mine? I'm going to go for 12-12 draws for both games.
See, this is just before we go any further. This did make us laugh, and I was a bit knocked in commentary because I couldn't say what it was. The fourth official on Saturday was possibly the worst I've ever seen, if that's possible.
That was hilarious.
Now, bear in mind, of course, the Tyneside stand is the predominant stand on a match day for all the fans to be in, because the other ones, if it's small, the way following, are not in use. So the fourth official put up the board for anyone that wasn't there and proceeded to show the three empty stands how much time had been added on in the first half and at the end, and not the anyone behind. So even poor Tom.
No one knew. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Steve Farnfield's put, is there a coach trip organised for the trip to Patrick? there isn't, but that is happening, by the way. We're just trying to work out correct. Yes, they do. I've messaged them and they said the boss was very serious about having us go down to Patrick. Yeah. So we've just got to just got to stop Mickey from trying to go in with an empty bag and coming out with a full bag.
I've got a big folder that's the size of a table. That's what I'm bringing.
I thought it might have been. We've got a couple more predictions to put in there as well. Patrick Story says his brother says 2-0. So put the Story brother for the game of that one. Mr. Luke, you are sat just two seats long for me and I could hear you and Nathan screaming at him. So, yeah, Matt wasn't me. It'd be someone else that's screaming. Right. We have our guest here and we've got some positive things to talk about regarding the ladies. And the young ladies as well. So we're going to bring in Ross now. Hello, how are you doing, Ross?
Hello, lads. How are you doing? You all right?
Congratulations, bud.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, I'll put up the photo just to show anybody. Ross was fantastic in getting this with us as well. There we go. The league champions for GTFC Academy and the under 15-16 girls, Durham Sunday League. Fantastic stuff. Well done.
Aye, it's been really good. It's been like a three-year project since we moved over to Gated. We've had players come and go along the way who've all been brilliant. But this year, we couldn't ask so much more. You know, we've got some great talent in there. And what I love about it more is we've just been a training there. And instead of getting ahead of ourselves, because we won the league yesterday, it's 100% again. Everybody's fully focused, wanting to improve, get even further. And yeah, it's just been a fantastic season, really.
Yeah, it is. And a real family affair. We've got yourself and your dad on the touchline working your magic. But also, I believe we've got a safe pair of hands in goal as well.
Hi, my sister's the goalkeeper. She's a cracker, so it explains a lot. Keepers are on the...
yeah, seem to be, don't they? But does this involve promotion or is it a development league where you stay there or...?
It's just a one-off league. It's funny how we come about it. So Sundays are actually quite hard to get girls football on, which is quite it is quite a shame. But so what we did was my dad was involved quite heavily pushing to the FA to get 15-16s under league. So we have teams that have under-15s and under-16s players to merge just to continue the pathway and development for not only ourselves but South Shields, Liam Rangers, Nearcliffe, Concert, you know, all the teams in the Durham FA area. And thankfully, we were part of the pilot to get this league on this season. And it's been a real success. I'm not just saying that because we won the league, but
yeah,
we've played some really good teams and some really, really good clubs, you know, who were getting involved. But yeah, it was a real effort by my dad and the FA to get it on. So that was a really, really good and a relief, really, that we hadn't just wasted two seasons. And it's for the girls as well. All they want to be doing is playing football. I said after yesterday that trophies and winning leagues is a bonus. The enjoyment and development of the players is all that matters.
I mean, of course, in the Northeast, I know you've got a Sunderland affiliation with your Sunderland fan as well. But what we're seeing, especially on Tyneside as well, is there a correspondence with what's happening with Newcastle United ladies with the attention they're getting? Is it starting to filter through to the younger girls that want to play?
I hope so. I know a few of our lasses went after we won the league straight over at St James's Park yesterday. But I think the main ones are the Lionesses, aren't they? They're absolute trailblazers. Everybody wants to play for England ladies team, and it's what's great as well. It's representation. That's the main thing. You see it on the telly. Let's be honest, winning the Euros, they're all huge names now, the household names, and everybody knows who they are. And it's having that out there to show that they can be done. And we're very lucky with my dad and Paul, who have great coaches. So the girls are getting good coaching. I think in the past, a lot of the older ladies now who play will say that they wish they had the opportunities and coaching that the girls are getting now. And like I say, it's not just Gators around the whole of the Northeast. We've got some brilliant coaches out there. And it was just brilliant for the girls to validation, really, for what we've been doing and what we've been implementing over the last 2 and 3 seasons.
Yeah,
to implement it and see it. A bit like it comes from the first team ladies as well, you know, all the way down. And it's just brilliant that all the players managed to get that day in the sun, really. And now we want more.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say you've been called a lot of things over the years, Ross, but have you ever been called Hope Powell?
No, that's a new one.
I know there's been progression from the under-16s into the first team for the ladies already, which is absolutely fantastic. You know, it's bearing fruit already. But we've got a question about further down the line for the pipeline. What's the pipeline for getting into the under-16s, asking for an under-10s player?
Yeah, I think definitely what we want to see is more youth ladies teams at Gateford. It's just about being able to get the coaching in, you know, get the teams in. But I think next season, that's something we'll definitely look to progress. We've been quite lucky, like you say, we've been there for the last 2-3 seasons. But yeah, it's all about finding the coaching as well, because it is, for us as coaches as well, it was really good yesterday, because we've put a lot of hours in on the training ground, on the training pitch, sorry, and we've been putting all these ideas in and basically putting the knowledge into the players, because once they go over the white line, there's nothing we can do. It's all up to the players. But we can just give them that knowledge and give them that information. And but the talent they've got is outstanding. And there's just some of the, like you say, everybody's contributed this season. We've got a big squad. We've had a lot of injuries, but everybody, the attitude's exemplary. And every time if they haven't been starting a game, when they've been ready to come on, they've been putting 100% in. If players have been injured, we've had players going in different positions to cover them, and it's just been fantastic all season.
It's just phenomenal, isn't it? It's nice to see.
It was an absolute pleasure watching them yesterday. It's the first time I'd heard all the hype, so to speak, about what a clutch of players the under-16s are. And it was the first chance I got to see them, and I felt a bit of a glory hunter gander when I had the chance to win the league, to be fair. but it was an absolute pleasure watching them, and there's some really good players there. I mean, I was speaking to Ross today. Chloe, who come on, is a sub, completely changed it. And you could see the lasses were really nervous about actually having to win the title that day. But the second half, they were absolutely phenomenal. And I kind of praise this high enough, because you've got a few of the lasses have progressed into the first team of the lasses. And they're really, not only are they good footballers, they're nice people as well.
That's it as well. That's one of the main things, is we've got a good group of characters, because you can have all the talent in the world, really, but if you're not, to me, if you're not a good person, then you're a disruption to me in the whole group. And everybody's bought into what we're doing. We play a certain style of way. You know, it's we take risks at the back. We lose a few goals, but that's on us as coaches, because we know further down the line they'll be better for playing this way and implementing that style and the technical ability that we're trying to get into them. And the tactical side of it, we've took all the goals that we conceded on us as coaches, because we want us to play this way. We could easily hoof it over the top for 80 minutes and hope for the best, but it's all about the personal development. And then when they are going into the senior setup at Gator or anywhere else in the Northeast, then they're ready, and as individuals, the better players.
Yeah, we've got lots of people coming in and putting half-time talk from Ross. We've got to get you into the first one, seeing for the playoffs as well, get you in charge for the playoffs. But it's lovely. And I'm guessing it's kind of taken, when you said about the players as a person, is that taking an ethos from the club's stance as well? Because that seems to be very much what's happening with the first team at Gateshead and the man's team. We were talking about before about the calibre of people that are being brought in.
Yeah, definitely. It's like you say, if they've got to buy into what we're doing. If they're not buying in and not listening to what we're doing, then they're just wasting the time. And that's one thing about all the girls, they're 100% buy in. I've got to mention that Paul mentioned the half-time team talk. So Paul, who commented in there, he's one of the coaches. He does brilliant on the grass. Some of the fantastic sessions for the girls. And for the half-time team talk, we didn't really do a team talk, because we knew that the girls knew what was needed and what had gone wrong, basically. A lot of nerves going back to our old ways, where not doing what we've been doing all season. And what we did was we said a few things, but then we left them to do their own team talk. Yeah. And that just shows the growth that and the leadership that we have within the team, that everyone was confident enough and comfortable enough to say what they believed in. And then within 30 seconds, we were level. And then within 5 more minutes, we were 2-1 up. And that's the characters. And that's what it's all about, the character. And sometimes you've got to go through that adversity to really see what you're about as a team. It's been all right and it's been great this season, winning games comfortably, but we have been challenged. We've been beaten as well. We've had to come back from a defeat. So it hasn't been all plain sailing, but the real character has shown in adversity is what it's all about.
you mentioned about the half-time team talk there, you just giving us flashbacks of what I heard. I think it was Martin Keown said about Arsene Wenger, that when he first arrived and it took the players a long time to get used to it, that he wouldn't come into the dressing room for 10 minutes after the half-time whistle to let the players sort it out between themselves, come in, because he knew that they all knew what had went wrong. And then he'd come in and say, right, come on, you know where it's wrong, and then back out there. So, yeah, it's a nice responsibility to give to the players themselves to say, you know, you know what to do.
Definitely, aye. And like you say, we can say Vautier had some fantastic goals yesterday. I've got to mention Millie's goal. So Millie hadn't scored all season. We came on from what a corner, and she made this fantastic move at the edge of the box, run, took away the defender, and on the volley at the edge of the box, right in the top corner. It was very like Paul Scholes, like it was fantastic. And like you say, Millie's one of the ones who've been there from the start as well, and seeing her growth is fantastic. But there's so many I could name them all, because they've all contributed so much to the team, and it's setting the standards and training, turning up every week, just brilliant people, and I can't speak highly enough of them.
You know, when you said that you come on the volley and hit it in, straight in there, did you show how it's done from Kane Adams' pass from yesterday's game?
The pre-assist.
Saturday's game. Yeah, the pre-assist.
It was some goal, and so was, well, there's Jess Wales come up from the under-16s, the first team, and she's now been nicknamed Little Miley. So it's like the new bright hope for the like Lewis Miley from Newcastle, and she scored an absolute rager in hell, didn't she, Ross?
She did, aye. But as well, it's like what was great is we've scored so many of them this season, and it was good to see so many people watching them. Like, see a bit of validation to show that, you know, the girls have got talent, but it doesn't stop now. We've been fantastic. We've got the league title, because the way the Durham League works, they do all the league first and then they do the cup competition after. And now we've got to reset. We've got challenges because the teams are improving who we're playing against. So we've got to raise our level as well, and we can't stand still. And they say just getting better every training session. We're improving and we're getting there. And they say the parents have been fantastic as well. In new football, you've got to have the parents on side. They put a lot of hard yards in. But we've got a great group on and off the pitch, you know, who are always committed. We train twice a week, so it's not just like a one-off. We train Monday and Wednesday. And then, you know, we're playing a concert, we're playing Newton Aycliffe on early Sunday mornings. You know,
stop showing off these glamorous places, Ross. So
I know.
It's not great. But Ross, I think that we've had you on since you became a father. Congratulations on that. It looks good on you, son. It looks good on you. have you sized the young'un up for our first pair of football boots yet?
She hates anything on her feet, so I think that's telling me just to not bother, you know. Socks didn't stay on, so getting a pair of shoes on, I've got no chance, have I?
It'll come. While we've got you on, of course, you're a big Gateshead fan as well. You must be loving it like we are at the moment, what's happening for the Heed.
Brilliant, isn't it? I think in January, everybody was a bit worried, naturally. Mm-hmm. And then to just go from that, you know, it's I think what it shows as well is that Mike and Busted did a lot of groundwork that left us in a brilliant place, and that shouldn't be forgotten, because they changed the culture of the whole club from top to bottom. And then what I think's been really good is Rob, Carl and Louis have put their own stamp on it. They've modified things ever so slightly, so it's been brilliant. And I think to me the pressure's off. We're not meant to be where we are, if we're being honest. I think, let's be honest, nobody would have us. When you look at the teams we're competing against, the budgets we're up against, nobody would have us there. But now we are there, let's stay positive, you know what I mean? Let's have a go, because with the players we've got coming back and the squad we've got nothing to fear.
Yeah, definitely. And I've seen a message before from Colin Scott, and this is probably one of the best messages we've ever had. Alison, where's Davy Steele? Me, in all seriousness, top right.
uh,
Of course, if y'all just joined us late, Davey is being absolutely dedicated to the cause. He hasn't got any island, so he's outside in the cold in the middle of the North Sea to do this podcast with you. So, as I say, it's dedication there.
I bet you it was colder up Gated Stadium for the past hour where we've been training. Up them 3G pitches, I tell you what, it's a different climate up there.
I bet, Ross. I agree. It is cold.
You have to experience it, haven't you?
It's nigh on tropical where Davey is at the minute.
It was absolutely quite nice when the under-16s kicked off yesterday. But by the time the first team, the lasses, kicked off, it was Baldic.
Yeah. So Gated Stadium's got a habit of doing that, hasn't it, when it gets to like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. It really does dip. But yeah, Mickey, obviously the ladies played. They had a hard fought game on Sunday as well after the under-16s in your double header down there. Go on, let us know what happened down there for that.
Well, first of all, I've got to say, the referee, wow.
I knew you were going to have a go at the referee. Yeah, I knew. You're going to tell, couldn't you?
Honest, anybody who was there, you're getting a lot of referee, and we've had them for 3 weeks on the spin in the. Some of the decisions are just mind-boggling. I'm not the only one to see it. If you see Jess Fields' dad, ask him how bad the referee was. He'll tell you straight away.
Don't be getting our players in a trouble with the FA here, Mickey. Come on.
Little Miley was taken off for her own good. I think Carl took her off so she didn't get involved. But the drew threes each. There were 3-1 down at the They should have had a penalty, which wasn't given. They got a back pass, which was just a sliding tackle. And the ball rolled to Carly. She picked it up, and the referee gave her indirect free kick. They went 3-1 up. Then was a sending off. And then Holly Orr scored two absolute belters, both in the top corner. One from a free kick. I think it was a couple of minutes to go, and we had a chance to win it. Oh, it's... Wow. Unbelievable how bad that referee was. And I think Paul's just come up and said they're beyond a joke.
I think you've got a fetish for referees. And I think if you take that top off, you've got an old school, like 1995 referees top underneath skin.
I was biting my lip from shouting and bawling at the referee. And there was a few were shouting at him. Bishop Auckland had the same trouble with him. So it wasn't just me.
Well, as I say, it's but Ross, have you got your prediction in for tomorrow and Saturday as well? We'll get you joined in the prediction league. You got a prediction for tomorrow's game and for Boreham Wood.
Woking, I've been to Woking like 3 times, and I've lost every time, so you'll be glad to know I'm not going. but they are struggling at home, and I fancy us to win 3-1. I think 3-1. Boreham Wood had a really good result on Saturday, and it's not normal, again, another place where it's not normally a happy stomping ground, but I'd take 4 points, so I'll say 2-2.
It's a tough week. I mean, I know we're in great form, but you can't take anything for granted. And I just got flashbacks there, Ross, obviously.
I think you're going to say exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously years ago, you didn't have commentary for every game, and especially you didn't have National League TV. And we used to do an update show and have, like, fans live at the ground. Like, I think, was it away to Fleetwood or Fylde?
Halifax, wasn't it?
Was it Halifax? Carl Finnegan, one-on-one with the keeper. That was the one. He somehow missed, and I just totally combusted live on commentary.
you can see how I can high-pitched, can't you?
Yeah, it was them were the days, weren't there? but you look at as well how more advanced the National League is now. We couldn't even get like anything now. And how good is it that tomorrow night I can put the telly on and watch with? Like it is really good because you can have that accessibility now. And I think as well, everybody says that the crowds are getting up in places, but even just the visibility is massive.
It's fantastic.
Even the Conference North are getting the games on as well now, aren't they?
These are laughing at Rebecca, my partner's just saying, it is not good. I disagree. I've lost my telly, so...
did Rebecca get some nice things in Tesco today?
I think she did, yeah. She's just, her face is just went out there. She was like,
I was going to say hello, but I don't think she should recognise us. I seen her. She was looking at the mints when I passed her. There we go. Colonies in the Ross house tonight.
sounds like Dave was hiding behind the Easter eggs here, mind. Oh, well.
You said that's why there was none left.
Yeah, giving us cheeky. Well, on that note, everybody, we've passed an hour. It's flew by. It's been a very positive one as ever. And got to say, like, the next home game, please do get down, support the lads, give them all the support and the praise that they deserve. They're giving everything for us at the moment, and it could be very, very special this the end of this season. Regardless, it's been amazing. But it could just have a cherry on the end with something to play for when the normal season's over, as it were. So hopefully we can get ourselves to that point. But Ross, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations once again. And also to your dad as well, because I think he was the brains of the operation.
Paul as well. Don't forget Paul.
When the competition starts, mate, let us know when they are, so I can get them advertised, bud.
Yeah, it is good as well, because we normally play 11 o'clock and then the seniors play at 2, so it's quite a good transition if you make both.
Double header of football on a Sunday, if you fancy it. And to Mark, as I say, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much. And as I say, are you back for the Peterborough Sports game? Oh, Solihull. Solihull first, isn't it?
Honestly, at the minute, I'm just looking at what's tomorrow. Never mind.
Mark he's got more games than Dan Bell under his belt.
No, I really haven't. I would imagine so.
Obviously Mickey and Steely, thank you once again. But Steely, a massive thank you, because
that looks buzzing, didn't he?
I'm just wondering, like, are you just prolonging this? This is like the longest podcast we've had for ages, and typically I'm outside.
Oh, but let's talk about Ross. Can you tell me how your father got the league started?
It started at the very beginning and go around the houses.
You'll just become a statue. He'll freeze by the time we're finished.
You haven't told Steely about the Heed Army podcast After Dark one, though, have you? The
We're gonna, after hours subscription only. On that note, everybody, thank you very much.
Congratulations, Ross, to everyone of his coaches and
every one of the players. Well done. Hit that subscribe button. Join us for a podcast next week. I think it'll be next Monday before we play Solihull on the Tuesday. And then, of course, we have that big game on the following Saturday. So it's all go at the moment, on and off the pitch. And we thank you for your support. But more importantly, get down there and support the lads, because that's what it's all about. And we'll see you next time on the Heed Army podcast. And say thank you very much. And remember, tell your friends that it exists. Bye, everybody.
See you later. Bye.